Further on in John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus prays, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. This high priestly prayer of Jesus, this prayer which Jesus prays for the church, for his disciples there gathered around him, and indeed for us gathered here today. This high priestly prayer of Jesus is my mother's, or one of my mother's, favorite passages from the Gospels. This is the true Lord's Prayer. What we call the Lord's Prayer, which we pray week after week, is really the disciples' prayer, the prayer which the Lord taught his disciples, a way of praying, a pattern of praying. But here we have the true Lord's Prayer, the prayer which he prays for his disciples, for his church, for you and for me. And the theme that runs through this prayer is a very simple one. Protect them, keep them safe, as you have given them to me, and I have kept them, so now keep them safe, and keep them one, even as you and I are one. Keep them one. And the phrase that I'm picking up today in the message is a very simple one. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. Think about that for a moment. The glory that Jesus has by his very nature as God, the glory which Jesus has by his very nature as God, given to him by God, from the foundation, indeed from before the foundation of the world, for all eternity being God, the glory which he has, he gives to you and me, so that we may be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. That glory, that majesty, that power, that radiance which makes and is indeed part of that which makes and it reflects Jesus and the Father as being one God, so also is called forth upon us here in Jesus' prayer for us to make us one. Not just one with Jesus, not just one with God, but one with each other. One with each other. One church with each other. One church. How can we be one when we have many, many disagreements? Between denominations, you've got Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Episcopalians and United Methodists and Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ and Eastern Orthodox Bible churches that don't actually go by a denominational name, but they are in many ways a denomination in and of themselves. Got many denominations, many disagreements, many splits, many divisions. divisions and disagreements between groups, even within denominations. You've got liberals and moderates and conservatives and fundamentalists and Pentecostals and charismatics and holiness and every possible group in between within denominations that cannot get along and disagree with each other. We have disagreements between congregations. There are 9 or more Baptist churches in Sigaville. How did that come to be? And many of those churches don't agree and don't talk with each other very well. Sometimes congregations don't get along very well. I was pastor of a church, Methodist church, over in Cockrell Hill, and we didn't talk very well to our sister church, which was just down the street from us, Irwindale United Methodist. We didn't communicate very well. Sometimes congregations of the same denomination don't communicate very well. They disagree. Indeed, believe it or not, shock of all shocks, horror of all horrors, we even have disagreements, divisions within the same congregation. Can you imagine that, friends? We split, we break apart, we fight, we argue. We group ourselves, group against group, class against class, personality against personality, theological position against theological position, political persuasion against political persuasion, even all of them against pastor. We are good at dividing ourselves up into groups and then devouring each other until there's nothing left to do the work of God. How can we be? How can we possibly be? How can we be one church when we have so many divisions, sinful divisions? Yes, I said sinful divisions. Jesus prayed, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know." Here's the part most people don't hear. "So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." My friends, our divisions are sinful. Our fights are sinful. Our backbiting is sinful for many reasons, not the least of which being that it shows the world that it makes the world believe, it reveals to the world that we're a bunch of sinners. Well, that's true. We are. But when the world sees us backbiting and fighting and dividing and devouring one another, when the world sees our divisions and us not proclaiming the love of God and not living the love of God, when the world sees us divided, the world does not hear the message that Jesus gives us to give to it. The world does not hear the gospel. Jesus said that he prayed that we would be one. "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me." When they see us fight, when they see us backbite, when they see us fail to love, when they see us call each other names and break apart into groups and fight each other and disagree with each other and slap each other and divide from one another and call each other not Christian, my friends, they do not see Jesus. They do not see Jesus, whom the Father has sent. And they do not hear the message that the world is loved, that God loves the world and wants the world and wants to redeem the world and save the world and save those who are lost. The church is called to be one and has received the glory of God to be one so that the world may hear the gospel message. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. When we fight, when we backbite, when we separate into groups and disagree and divide ourselves, the world does not hear the good news. That is why our divisions are so horribly sinful. Nevertheless, even though we do have such divisions, nevertheless, we are one. One in the local congregation. One in the denomination. Yes, even one between denominations. Why? Because the church isn't a building. The church isn't an institutional structure, a conference or a diocese, or even a bishop. The church isn't a denomination. The church is a people. The word church, you ever wondered about that word? It's a strange sounding word. It comes from the Middle English, Kirche, which comes from the German word Kirk or Kirchen, which comes from Greek, Kyriakon, the Lord's people. The Lord's people, or more correctly, the ones who belong to the Lord. From Kurios, the Lord, or Lord, Kyriakon, those who belong to the Lord. So our word church comes straight from the New Testament usage. When Paul wrote about the church, when Jesus spoke about the church, he's speaking about not an institutional structure, not a building, not a denomination, but a people who belong to the Lord. We even say this in our own denomination. I brought into the sanctuary today the Holy Discipline of the United Methodist Church, as I sometimes call it. And inside you have the Articles of Religion, as we've been studying in our evening service. Article 5 on the church says, "We believe the Christian church is the community of all true believers under the lordship of Christ. We believe it is one, holy, apostolic, and Catholic." One as in undivided, holy as in set apart for God, apostolic as in tracing its roots back to the apostles, to the New Testament church, and Catholic as in universal, not divided by denominations. It is the redemptive fellowship in which the Word of God is preached by men divinely called, and the sacraments are duly administered according to Christ's own appointment. That's from the Articles of Religion, the updated version from the EUB Confession of Faith. Here's the old Articles of Religion of the old Methodist Church. It says something very similar. Let's see. There it is. "The visible church of Christ is a congregation of faithful men in which the pure word of God is preached, the sacraments duly administered according to Christ's ordinance, and all those things that of necessity are requisite to the same." In other words, the church isn't a building. The church isn't an institution. The church isn't a hierarchy. The church isn't a denomination. The church is a congregation, a group of people, the Lord's people, where the Word of God, the pure Word of God, is preached and proclaimed where the sacraments of Holy Communion and baptism in the means of grace and prayer and worship and fellowship and all the many means of grace that exist are celebrated in accordance with the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church is not an institution. It is not a denomination. The church is a people that belong to the Lord, a gathering where the word is proclaimed, where the sacraments are celebrated and received, and all the many means of grace are put into practice. That's a pretty good definition of the church, wouldn't you say? We are one. When we read Scripture and proclaim it in preaching and celebrate at the Lord's table and receive baptism, when we gather together for worship and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are one. Not just one here, even despite our divisions. We're one even with our brothers and sisters over at First Baptist, or the Church of Christ, or the Assembly of God, or the Disciples of Christ, or Robinwood Baptist, or the Roman Catholic Church over in Dallas, or the other Methodist churches up in Roy City and Mesquite and Dallas and Kaufman and Crandall. When we meet together and hear the Scriptures proclaimed and preached and celebrate and receive the sacraments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it matters not what name we have on our marquee. It matters not what discipline we follow. It matters not what doctrine we follow. So long as our faith is focused on Christ Jesus, so long as we participate in the worship that Jesus Christ called us and ordained us to participate in, where the Scriptures are proclaimed and the sacraments are received, so long as we're doing that with our faith focused entirely on Christ, then my friends, we are one body. I had a friend of mine, he was a priest in the Russian Orthodox Church, and I one day asked him if I could receive communion in one of their worship services, and he said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And I said, "I most certainly do." "Do you believe he's your Lord and Savior?" I said, "I most certainly do." "Do you believe that in communion God gives you his grace that you need to live from day to day?" I said, "I most certainly do." "Have you been baptized?" I say, "Yes." And he says, "You may receive." And I said, "But I thought we had our denominational rules and you had yours that I had to be confirmed in the Russian Orthodox Church." And he said, "Greg, there are many flavors of ice cream. I like vanilla and you really like chocolate. And some people like peach, and some people like strawberry, and some people like cookies and cream, or you name it. But no matter what flavor of ice cream you may love, it's all ice cream." And he said, "You worship Jesus, you receive him as your Savior, you believe he provides you with the grace you need to live eternally. I don't care what flavor is on your package, so long as Jesus is inside, come and worship and receive. I don't care what flavor you are, what brand is written on your package. If Jesus is inside, come and worship. Come and worship." Listen to what Jesus said in this prayer for his church. "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me." Well, if the Father is in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in us, then the Father is in us. Transitive, right, Dad? The Father is in us. The glory of God Almighty is in us, making us one. I don't care what brand's on the outside. All I care, all any of us should care, is if Jesus is on the inside. give thanks and praise to God that He has called us into one church, one body. We might have many names. Who cares? We have many flavors. That adds spice to life. But in Christ Jesus, there is only one church, one body. And those who receive Him as Lord and Savior, who are His people, a people who belong to the Lord, His church, who hear His scriptures proclaimed, receive them with faith, and participate in the sacraments, my friends, the church is one here today, and one all over this land. My mother loves this passage and the high priestly prayer which Jesus prayed for His disciples. I used to not really understand my mother's love for that prayer. Oh, I appreciated it. I enjoyed it. It's an interesting prayer with many different phrases that sound strange depending on the translation you're reading it from. And it seems to be repetitive. Only this week did I truly come to comprehend a little bit, maybe, of what my mother truly loves about this passage. Jesus praying for His disciples, for His body, for His people, to the Father, calling them to be one, calling them to receive that glory that is in the Father and in Him and now in us. My friends, I understand now a little bit about why my mother loves this passage and its calling to make us one. May we truly be one together in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We can disagree and still love each other with the love and the glory which Christ has for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.